Hey, and welcome to the Carmen Johnston Gardens podcast. I'm Carmen Johnston, and I'm a garden lifestyle expert with over 13 years of experience in landscape design and events. I'm excited to bring you practical gardening tips for indoor plants, herb gardens, container gardens, my favorite, landscape design, amazing products, and so much more. Join me for ways to incorporate your garden into your kitchen and your home. I'll be providing you easy and beautiful entertaining tips, DIYs, planner tricks, floral design, and all kinds of fun recipes. I love to make gardening truly accessible and fun. No need to take notes as you listen. You'll find videos and resources that accompany each episode at CarmenJohnstonGardens.com. Now let's get busy and get our hands in the dirt. I'm Carmen with Carmen Johnston Gardens. I've got Lainey from Thunderwood Farms, and we're going to tell you our top seven, it was going to be 20, but our top seven perennials that we love to plant in the fall. Now, I know we've been talking a lot about this, but why is fall the best time to plant perennials?
Because planting in the fall gives you the opportunity for your roots to really get established in the ground and not focus on growing tops or blooming, so you can get a larger show the following spring.
Right. Okay, so we love to get our perennials in the ground in the fall.
Yes.
And this is what we always like to plant our clients' gardens. Okay, so we're going to show you our top seven favorites that work beautifully and that put on a fabulous show.
Yes.
Okay, everyone always struggles with lavender, right? Everyone always struggles with it. They like to keep it super wet. They do not like wet feet, but this one is called
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal. Do you even know how to spell it? Phenomenal.
I do.
P-H-E-N-O-M-E-N-A-L. Phenomenal lavender.
Yes. Yes. So most lavenders, if you've grown lavender, if you've tried to grow lavender, you'll find that after 2 or 3 years, it'll kind of peter out and get really small. And that's usually because of overwatering or really wet winters, which we have in Georgia frequently. Or
if you live around the country,
yes,
can have really wet
winters. It just doesn't, a lot of times it won't branch. So to get a nice full plant, you end up cutting it back and cutting it back and cutting it back. And then if you cut back too early or too late, you miss your flower show. So it's just, this is a really great option. It blooms the first year. After the first winter. So when you plant it, it'll be a smaller plant. And then the following spring, which is late spring, it's going to be June in our area, maybe May if we have a really warm spring. It puts on this fantastic show. It's just a mountain of purple.
So Lainey showed, I forget how long this plant has been out, but it's been out for a while, but you finally got a hold of it.
Yes,
because it's a super hard plant.
It is. It is. And we sell it quick as we can grow it.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. But she was like, you've got to try this. So we took it home, planted it in our garden, and it has just done incredible. Especially we had a really wet, I felt like it was a really wet spring.
We did.
And then now it's dry, as hot as Hades. But this actually performed beautiful. And I love to snip and clip the blooms off.
Absolutely.
And then use them in arrangements, or you can dry them. But what's gorgeous about the Phenomenal Lavender, I think, is I love the gorgeous hue, like the silver.
It is.
It's a really pretty
silver. Silver is such a bright pop in the landscape when everything can start looking really green. So having a little other color.
Yeah, it's a great contrast.
Big difference
color, and then the blooms are that, of course, the gorgeous lavender.
Absolutely. And bees and pollinators love them, so it's always great if you're doing pollinator gardens to include a little lavender.
Okay, so my Phenomenal Lavender has gotten about 2 to 3 feet tall.
Yes.
And I've had mine in the garden, I think, for about 2 years now. How tall can it get?
Well, in bloom, it can be up to 4 foot, but
okay,
that is normally in our landscapes, we're going to see about that 2 to 3 foot range. And then Once your lavender finishes blooming, if you shear it back into a nice shape, so that you don't have
like
the
a nice
stems.
Round ball, or just kind of shape
it. Just kind of get the dead blooms off,
gotcha,
so that the foliage can reflush and it can put on a little more height.
And you do that after it blooms.
After it blooms, yes. Don't cut off your flowers before they bloom.
Right. So be careful.
Yes.
Remember, don't shape it in the first part of the season.
No, let it bloom. Let it go when the finishes blooming. That is the time to cut back. And that's true for most of your landscape, like prune it after it flowers.
Right. Okay, so for our listeners, you can actually see this on our YouTube channel, CarmenJohnstonGardens.com, and you can see and check out the gorgeous blooms we're talking about and that beautiful silver foliage. Okay, now for something else that's going to put on a show, the ditch daisy. Now she's going to, of course, going to tell us the fancy name for this. Go ahead.
So it's Helianthus, it's salicifolius.
How do you spell that?
Do you really want me to spell it? I can spell it.
Go for it. For our listeners who want to know, because I have no clue.
S-A-L-I-C-I-F-O-L-I-U-S.
Extremely impressive. So, or the ditch daisy.
Yes. Some people will also call this the willow leaf sunflower, but here in Georgia, it is more commonly known as the ditch daisy.
So that means that it's super tough if it can grow in the ditches.
That's exactly right. It's super tough and it can grow anywhere. And if you do know this plant, you know that if you see it driving down the road, which is where you normally see it in the ditches, it will be 7 or 8 foot tall. So that is not really a garden friendly
right thing. We don't like things to get that tall. I mean, you can in the deep part of the garden where you're trying to create lots of layers, but we love things.
This cultivar is called Autumn Gold, and it maxes out at about 3.5 to 4 foot.
Okay.
And it doesn't require the staking that the other Helianthus salicifolius require. And it gets you that late season yellow fall sunflower. It's just
beautiful.
Fantastic. Crazy bloom count, and it's going to make a nice clump.
So it's going to be a beautiful show in the garden.
Yes. Okay. Yes, in the late season.
So late season for us, would you say that? Because it looks like we're about to, it's putting
it's
off the blooms right now.
Yeah, so October and into November.
Oh, wow.
So yes, our ditch daisies haven't even really, like you're not even noticing them yet because it's so hot.
Right. But this is a beautiful plant if you're looking for fall color.
Yes.
So this is great. But we also like to plant them now.
Yes, plant them now.
Right.
Fall is the time for planting all of your perennials, even if they bloom in the fall. Like fall is for planting your perennials because they can get established and they can really put their energy into root systems, which make a big difference in the number of blooms and the size of the plant the following year.
Gotcha. Okay, now another one of my favorites is the Linton Rose, otherwise known as
Helleborus.
How do you spell Helleborus for our listeners?
H-E-L-L-E-B-O-R-U-S.
Okay.
So this is from the Huger Gold collection. It's actually the Ice and Roses collection, but it's still a Huger breeding program out of Germany. So you get 100% first year bloom from tissue culture, which gives you, when you have tissue culture and you have a lot of plants in landscape, you get a much more uniform. So if you've grown Linton Rose, you know, like you have this one plant and then you get all these seedlings and they're everywhere and you have to pull them and then there's no consistency to color. This fixes that problem.
So these are low growing. And
they
when I
are.
Say low growing, they may, I mean, ours in our garden or our clients' gardens get maybe 1.5 to 2 feet tall.
Yes.
They've got this gorgeous evergreen leaf. And then, so this one, what color will this one?
This is Ice and Roses red.
Oh.
So it is burgundy red.
Right. So when she says red, it's not like a true Christmas red.
It is not.
It's like a gorgeous burgundy hue. And what I love about Linton Roses, and when I say Linton, L-E-N-T-O-N, is that they are fabulous cut flowers, but I love the way they age over time in the garden.
Yes.
Because even in April, so they start blooming for us. I'm trying to think in our garden, like when do
Depending on the cultivar, they'll start November through like February.
Right.
So the common name goes to blooming at Lent. So
I did not realize that.
But and also the other great thing about these is they're really once they start blooming, those flowers will hold for a really long time.
That's what I'm saying. I love the way the flowers age in the garden.
Yes.
So you get several months of beauty in there.
Yes.
Now, I've also heard from a gardener before, this is an older lady, she said not to touch Linton Roses for 5 years. Now, I can't resist them because I think their blooms are beautiful. I want to bring them inside. I want to make arrangements with them. I love to also make like boutonnieres out of them for weddings. I mean, they're just one of my top picks for any sort of flower to use in arrangements. But when do you...
So, this is the great thing about these particular ones. Get after it.
Go for it.
telling
me to get this in the ground.
Get it in. Let it grow. I would not cut heavily on it like the very first year that it was planted, but the next year, get after it. Because it really bulks itself really fast. And The other great thing about these compared to many of the others is the flowers are upward and outward. So if you've grown Lenten rose, you know the flowers are usually pendulous so that, you know, basically the bugs can enjoy the beautiful flower without you clipping them. These are upward and outward, so when you're walking through your garden, you can actually enjoy
it. Meaning the bloom is touching the sky. That's a great way of thinking about that.
So
They're upright.
They are. They're upright and or outward facing, either like this or outward directly. So they do make a great plant for the shade. And so many people say, well, they won't grow in the deep south because it's too hot. A lot of the new cultivars will. These have been grown outside all summer here in Georgia.
They're doing great. We have Lenten roses planted in almost every single one of my clients' gardens.
Yes.
And they do phenomenal. They don't like the full sun.
No.
So you tell us, what are your best recommendations for where to plant the Lenten rose?
So they're also extremely drought tolerant.
Which is good.
So if you know you've got a tree that might be a little bit of a water hog, it's okay, you can still plant it.
I've got ours planted under pine.
See?
Mixed with ashuga, all kinds of different things.
Yes, and they'll make a nice big clump. We actually have some in our garden under pines as well. Mm-hmm. A lot of pines in Georgia.
One of those
They're also very deer resistant. Like deer really, it's not their favorite thing. And you'll hear some people say, well, they smell, and some of them do smell. The roots kind of will put off a repelling odor. Mm-hmm. And it's not something that you're going to really notice heavily in the garden, but we notice it when we're transplanting.
You can definitely smell it. Well, the Lenten rose is definitely one of my go-tos, and everywhere I'll also love to use it. Okay, next we have, this is a type of salvia.
Yes, so Texas sage is salvia. It's going to be an interspecies hybrid, but this is from the Mirage series, and the series has a lot of different colors in it. We've got purples and pinks and reds and whites and corals and everything you could think of in that series. But this is a lot of times if you've grown this type, you have a plant that will grow this way, and it gets a little unruly. Ways. This one is just much more
uniform
and refined.
Yeah, it is. So for a lot of our clients that struggle with the deer, we love to use this Mirage salvia.
Yes.
Okay, and when does this bloom?
When does it not bloom?
I know, okay. So we actually have seen it blooming like early. If we have a really mild winter, it'll start putting on a show for us.
Yes, in March. Yeah. I mean, we can easily get it in color out here in the nursery under nursery conditions, late February, early March. And it's really starting to hit its stride right at the start of spring. Now, once it goes through that first bloom, a lot of times with a little bit of cutting back, you can continue that bloom, and you can see where we have cut back, and it's going again.
And so it's got a woody stalk, just
it does.
So people know, and it's got a really tiny leaf that's maybe not even a half inch.
Yes.
So they're super petite, but the blooms are petite as well.
They are.
They're not a really big, but what it is they're extremely prolific, and there are tons of the little tiny blooms.
And if you have hummingbirds,
if you
feed hummingbirds, this is a plant you want in your garden, specifically in a red or bright pink, because they are really going to go after those before they would go after the white. The nursery over here where we were looking, where we pulled this plant from, there are butterflies all over the white.
She's got purple and pink and red, but a lot of you know I love a white and green garden, so this is one of my go-tos as well for a lot of my clients.
And white definitely, it balances everything in a garden. You need a little white.
It truly does. So this is Mirage Salvia, Mirage, Mirage White Salvia, and it comes in, like she said, pink, red, purple, lots of gorgeous. Oh wait, and how tall? We said about 2.5. This doesn't get really
tall. It really doesn't. So you're looking, I mean, if you really were to heavily fertilize and heavily push, you might get up to 3 foot on there, but what we're seeing is usually 2 or 2.5 foot.
Right, so I love to layer with this one. It doesn't get super tall, super low maintenance, always puts on a show. Okay, then this is Bee Balm.
It is.
B-E-E, like the bee, Bee Balm.
Or Monarda.
Monarda. Spell that for everybody.
M-O-N-A-R-D-A.
Okay.
Monarda is our North American native. And so it's a great plant. They've got this crazy, like, my daughter describes it as a spaceship-like bloom. But it's really showy. So you get this bloom that's 2 to 3 inches. It is not blooming right now because it is not time. This is one of the plants that we would definitely recommend planting in the fall.
So it'll put on a big show. It's so pretty.
It is. And we've actually got a couple of Monardas here. This is one, Monarda didyma, which is a red one. And in the South, we sometimes struggle with mildew on Monarda. Mm-hmm. So when we're looking for plants to plant, we always look for the cultivars, and most of the, and I'm talking about growers, look for cultivars that are going to be mildew resistant, because it just makes it easier for the grower. It makes it easier
for the gardener. Yeah, it just makes it easier for everybody.
But now Jacob Klein, this is Jacob Klein. It's one of the older cultivars. It gets a lot taller than the Balmy series. So you've got a lot of variation. If you do like Monarda, you've got a lot of variation in sizes that you, and options that you would have. Jacob Klein is red. We've got Balmy Rose right here.
To see a video of today's episode, visit www.carmenjohnstongardens.com. For more practical tips and tricks on ways to integrate your garden to your kitchen and home, be sure to follow me on Pinterest, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram at Carmen Johnston Gardens, where I provide all kinds of fun daily inspiration and ideas. If you're looking to hire a landscape designer for your commercial or residential property, or to have my team help you with your next special event, please visit our website at www.carmenjohnstongardens.com and fill out our form, and we'll be sure to be back in touch with you. Again, many thanks for listening. Go to www.carmenjohnstongardens.com/podcast and subscribe for more episodes.